Hey there. We at Blue Wire just wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this podcast. We know everything outside is pretty scary and uncertain, but we're committed to helping you get through your day by talking about the sports and teams that you love most. If you're looking for more great podcasts to distract you, check out BlueWirePods.com. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the podcast and stay safe.
Hey, this is Megan Rapinoe. And I'm Sue Bird. We've decided to turn our crazy IG live show into a podcast for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show. A Touch More.
New episodes of A Touch More drop Tuesday only on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Blue Wire.
Kirk Cousins, he's going to be a Minnesota Viking. This was the right call.
Cousins, pressure, hit as he throws, going for Thielen. He's got it! Touchdown! Oh, my!
Up by Diggs.
Stay
up!
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God!
30!
No!
10!
Touchdown!
It's a Minneapolis miracle!
All right, welcome in, everybody. Welcome to Bleeding Purple, a podcast about the Minnesota Vikings. I'm your host, Adam Patrick, from thevikingage.com. We are part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network, and we are brought to you by betonline.ag. All right, joining me, as always, is Eric Strack from minnesotasportsfan.com. And, Eric, I want to begin today's show by asking you if Michael Jordan should regret the way he treated his teammates.
How many championships does he have?
Yeah.
No, I mean, they all said it too. Like, if he doesn't push us like he pushed us, then
they don't win.
Then it's, yeah, he wasn't there to be a good friend. He was there to win championships, and that's all he cared about. And, I mean, when you're pushing something, like, when you want something that badly. And not only did he want it that badly, but he had, like, he had the respect, like, to where he can push his teammates like that, and they're not going to push back hard enough to where it's going to, like, cause losses or cause any sort of major issue. I mean, they were a better team with Jordan, and I don't mean that as in an obvious sense as, like, they're a better team on the basketball floor, but they seem to get along better as a team. Maybe they all kind of hated Jordan a little bit when he was on the team, so it kind of was, we all kind of dislike this guy. But as soon as he left, Scottie Pippen sitting out because Kukoc is getting shots over him at the end of games, like, it didn't seem to go well once Michael Jordan was gone. So I think he was doing something right.
Yeah, I'm completely fine with the way that Michael Jordan treated his teammates. He said it in the documentary The Last Dance that's continuing on right now, that he did it to, you know, bring the best out of the guys on his team, and he expects the best from everyone. And he also said that he's not going to make anyone do anything that he won't do. So, like, he's not going to ask someone to go and do something that, you know, he's not going to do either. He's not going to run extra laps. He's not going to tell someone to run extra laps or take extra shots, because he's going to do that as well. So I have no problem with that. A lot of people sometimes just have a problem with people who can seem like they're being mean or demanding, but they just want to, you know, be successful in what they do, and I don't think there's a problem with that. Like, there's some people that are gonna take it the wrong way, but in the end, he did his job. He came in and he won championships. That's what the main goal is for every team, every player. And if he said it, if people didn't like that, then, you know, that's fine. You've never won before, so you don't understand like how it feels to get to that elite level. And I just came away from, I haven't watched the second episode, the episode 8 yet, but I watched episode 7, and I just, that final like sequence of him just talking about like, you know, not caring essentially what people think, it just, I like got goosebumps, and I like wanted to run through a wall, so I was just like, oh man, like, it's not like motivating, just because, just to see how, like, how much he wanted to be the best and just be better than everyone. He was going to do everything he could to make sure that that was going to happen.
Well, yeah, and I just, you don't get the type of competitiveness that he had. And I don't just want to say, like, today. Like, nobody has ever had the type of, like, it wasn't, you can tell it wasn't about the money. Once he had the championships, it wasn't always even the championships or going for another championship that motivated him. Like, he would find the smallest little things that motivated him, and he would just go after people. He was making stuff up. They talked about that yesterday, too. He's making stuff up so that he has reasons to go at people. But they talk about it's not just on the basketball floor. It's on the golf course. It's it's at home with his kids. It's anything that they do. Like, Michael Jordan wants to win everything. You he's don't playing, get that type,
what is that, that type of competitiveness. Game that he's playing.
Yeah. Yeah, you just don't get his competitiveness. You don't get to where Chicago got without that type of, we're not watching this documentary without the way that he was. That's the thing. Like, everybody, I see too many people bitching about him. Like, he didn't treat his teammates very well. He was so petty that just finding stupid reasons to go after people. And it's like, if he's not like that, he doesn't have this documentary. We're not watching 10 straight episodes of Michael Jordan if he isn't like that. Like, that is what made him great.
Listen, there's a lot of people who have been great too who are like that as well, but they weren't in like the spotlight, the gigantic spotlight that he was in, so it doesn't get as much notice. You know, Kobe, he's known throughout his career for being a tough teammate just because of the same thing. He expects you to be the best, and if you're not, then he doesn't want anything to do with you. So,
well, that's the thing, too. Like, if you bring it, like, if you bring it every single day, like, you know, you saw the back and forth.
Was it Scott Burrell or whatever that he was going after?
Yep, with Burrell, but with Steve Kerr. Like, Steve Kerr said it best, and it was just, it's such a guy thing. Like, you knew when they started talking about it, like, as soon as that fight was over, as soon as he popped Steve Kerr in the face, Steve Kerr said it. He's like, after that, you could tell it was a completely different respect level. Like, I had earned Michael Jordan's respect, and he completely treated me differently because I wouldn't let him push me around. I wasn't going to let him, and Jordan said it himself. It was clear right there that Steve Kerr wasn't a guy who was going to let me make him a pawn in my game. Like, that, it just, what, like, he earned my respect that day. It's like such a guy thing, you know, like one guy punches one in the chest, the other guy pops him in the face, and then the next day they're best friends. Completely different respect level.
I don't think girls could do that. The grudges just will be held on for multiple years, decades,
and they never even would have hit each other either.
Nope. Could have been just something they said. Yeah. And then it's like, all right, well, this is done.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into some Vikings talk, since this is a Vikings podcast. After our last episode, the schedule for the 2020 season came out, and we got to find out, we already knew what opponents the Vikings would be facing in 2020. We just didn't know the order and what dates and what time they would be playing. So we were able to find out last week, I believe it was Thursday, when everything came out. And I just want to go through, you know, it's May 11th, and there's a long, long time before the season. Could be longer than normal. I just feel like going through the whole schedule and just predicting win or loss. We're not going to do scores, because I've seen some of those predictions out there where people are picking the exact score, and I'm like, okay, that's a little too much. Like, go, it's fine, you pick the win or loss or whatever, I understand. But the score, like, one, I don't even understand when people pick the score during the season. Like, how do you, it's never right. It's always luck if you are even close to being right. So I never understand the picking the score of a game.
I can't even pick the over-under properly. So no. If you can pick the score, call me and I will pay you to make picks for me online on betonline.ag.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Nice. Okay, so the Vikings in week one, they begin their season for the first time ever hosting the Green Bay Packers in week one inside U.S. Bank Stadium. It's a noon game on Fox. Don't know if there's going to be fans in the stadium, which would suck because the Viking Stadium, I think, is one of the better stadiums to have a home field advantage just because it's indoors and it can get so loud. Jordan Love, maybe he's starting quarterback for the Packers by this time. But I think the Vikings are going to come out of this with a win. What do you think? How do you think this is going to turn out?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to pick Green Bay to beat us at home. I can promise you that much. Okay. So yeah, I'm taking Green Bay for sure. I just, as far as the no fans thing go, okay, so what do you think about this for an idea? All right. So you allow, and this has already been talked about, you allow
jumping in crowd, you know, artificial crowd noise.
Well, kind of artificial crowd noise.
Like the Falcons.
First off, my idea kind of only works if you have some sort of fan base there. Like, let's say every 5 seats or every 10 seats, or you let in a third of what your capacity is, right?
Yep.
So those fans are obviously going to cheer immediately, right, when things happen. So you'll start to get that cheer. What if you could make the rest of your crowd sound based off of hashtags on Twitter?
Yeah.
So every time it's hashtag Vikings, you know, like let's say, because if the Vikings score a touchdown, then it's going to be...
An air horn blows?
Yeah, well, no, like let's say it's connected to the crowd noise that you have pumping in. So the more hashtags that come through, hashtag Vikings, the louder the crowd noise gets. So then when you score a touchdown, like Twitter is hashtag Vikings ever, you know, Viking score, whatever. So then it wouldn't be fast enough to have that be the only thing, because they would score the touchdown and then they'd stand there for like 4 seconds and then you would hear it. But if you got a small enough crowd to kind of get the crowd noise going and then Twitter pumped in the rest of it, it would kind of be a way to, it'd be a way to pump in obviously crowd noise that isn't real, but it's still based off of real fans. You don't have to worry about like a person in the booth pressing buttons, and fans will still feel like they're, you know, into the game. And then you got third down, right? So third downs would be a big deal, like hashtag Vikings on third down so that the stadium's going crazy, you know, like you could, there, we're in a day and age now where we have enough people who are way smarter than me with a lot more time to think about this and actually get paid to think about this type of thing. You would think they can come up with something that would, if you can't have a full crowd, you could still make it some type of experience or make it not so awkward for players.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know if the NFL is that smart.
Because, I know.
Because they still use like chain links to measure first down. And I've never thought about that in my life. They haven't figured out a way to even like try and put like a yellow first line on the field, even though they've had the TV technology for like 20 years.
That's never crossed my mind. Never when I've watched the chain gang going back and forth have I gone, why don't they do that with some sort of like machine? Yeah. But that makes way more
sense. Yeah, you could put like
jobs, Adam. It's jobs.
Like the first down marker like above everyone so no one like runs it over. Yeah. Nope. Still chains. Just like the 50s.
It's jobs, Adam. We're saving jobs.
Oh yeah, We're saving those 90-year-old guys from not being able to see the first down marker anyways. All right. So they beat the Packers and then in week two they head out on the road to go face the Indianapolis Colts. It's another noon game on Fox.
and a decrepit Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, they're facing 38-year-old Phillip Rivers. I think the Colts are trying, are hoping that there's a similar outcome to when the Vikings, you know, got Brett Favre. But I don't think this is going to be the case. I think the Colts could beat the Vikings. But I just don't think that it's going to happen. I think Phillip Rivers, I think the Colts are probably, Phillip Rivers probably isn't going to start for the entire season. I don't think he's going to. Last year he played against the Vikings when he was with the Chargers and he threw 3 interceptions. So I don't think it's going to be much better, and I think the Vikings will come away with a win in this game.
It will be interesting to see Phillip Rivers with an offensive line. Like, I don't know enough about Phillip Rivers or the Chargers or the history of the Chargers to know how good their offensive line is when he was there. But we know that the Colts have one of the best offensive lines in football. So you'd think that for sure it's going to be some sort of improvement. Phillip Rivers isn't, I mean, he'll throw it in windows, but he's not like a Brett Favre type of arm. So when do we start to see, like you said, the point of decline and how good is Indianapolis? Let's say, I don't know who Indianapolis plays week one, but let's say they lose week one and then they lose week two to the Vikings, which could certainly happen. Now you have a team that a lot of people are picking to be good this year, no longer good. Now you have Phillip Rivers possibly going down. And then once that starts to happen in today's day and age, you automatically go to your younger guy because that's your future. And you move on.
They still extended, what's his face? Who was their starter last year? Jacoby Brissett.
Brissett, that's it.
So he's still the backup, so they could still bring him in and do something.
And so then you sit Phil. But here's the other thing too. One thing about the beginning of this schedule, and I'm not big into schedules, but the first two quarterbacks that we play are obviously both old, but veterans too, against our blossoming secondary. So this will be a very interesting first 2-week matchup when we go up against Phillip Rivers and Aaron Rodgers. How good is our secondary? It's possible that, and I hate to say this, but we could be very nervous as Vikings fans coming out of week two if our brand new secondary is picked apart by two of the most grizzled veterans in the NFL. So it's something to watch for sure. But I think they get a victory here for sure.
I don't know. I think I still would have been, I don't know if I feel any more or less comfortable with the secondary this year than I did last year, just because Xavier Rhodes wasn't even close to being the player he used to be, and I've never been impressed by Trey Waynes. He's good run defender. And then Mackenzie Alexander, he was good. But I'm not, And Phillip Rivers, he turns the ball over. That's what he's done his whole career. So I think, if anything, maybe this week two game against the Colts could be an opportunity for that young secondary to get some confidence, get some turnovers.
And it could go the other way, right? So they're facing two quarterbacks who are getting older. Maybe those quarterbacks aren't what they once were, and our secondary looks a lot better against two of who a lot of people would say are some of the better quarterbacks in the league, and then we could be feeling really good about our secondary. But the one thing that I'll say to you, your point about last year compared to this year, even if you're not on the Xavier Rhodes train, or you know, you're not a big Trey Waynes guy, like you said, I'm a bigger Trey Waynes guy, but you knew what you had. At worst, you had an average secondary. At worst, you had an average secondary. Because if Xavier Rhodes isn't top end like he used to be, well, your two guy is Trey Waynes. That's a pretty good two guy, even if you don't like him as a one guy. And then you just said Mackenzie Alexander was good. And going into last year, we had a lot of depth. So I am much more nervous about the secondary going into this year than I was last year. Because in a bad game, things could get really bad. If these younger guys lose confidence early on in a game against a guy like Aaron Rodgers, I mean, would it be impossible for us to see Aaron Rodgers put up 400 against our secondary in US Bank Stadium on turf without a fans to give him any sort of confusion at the line? I don't know, man. I hope you're right, but I am very nervous about our secondary.
Oh, we got Mike Zimmer. Fine.
I hope you're right.
He knows what he's doing. Yeah, all right, well, so that's true. Yeah. In week three, Vikings come back home, US Bank Stadium. Not sure if it's going to be empty or not. Another noon game. Going to see a theme to this schedule. Yes. This one's on CBS. I think this game's probably going to be close. Titans, they made the NFC Championship. Not NFC, the AFC Championship. Oh, going to lose my credibility.
Yeah, the AFC Championship. Careful, I already lost all of mine. We can't lose you too.
Yeah. They made it to the AFC Championship. They're basically like the AFC version of the Vikings. They like to run the ball. You know, they have a quarterback who's above average, but he's not great. And then they rely on their defense to make plays too. So I think this is going to be close, and it might come down to the final possession. But I think the Vikings will win. And I also think we'll see some camera shots of Mike Zimmer and both Mike Vrabel getting caught with, a dip in their mouth.
Yes, chews in their mouth. Absolutely. Yep. Well, I'd be disappointed if we didn't catch that, to be honest with you. I think it would be more who's got the bigger one.
Have you seen clips of Spielman in his interviews with, like, dip in his mouth? I'm like, oh, I didn't know he was doing that.
I knew he chewed, but I haven't seen any of those recently.
Yeah. And some of his interviews with, like, Pro Football Talk and stuff, he's had a nice big old dip in his mouth.
That's interesting, like, oh. that you think
he doesn't come off that way.
Well, not only does he not come off that way, but like you get into the front office and you're in like professional setting. That is a professional job, right? Like,
yeah, I'm not going
to my office job and sitting down with my boss. Obviously, you don't sit down to do interviews, but I'm not sitting down with a client or with my boss with a big chew in my mouth that they can see. You know,
an interview on national.
I love sports.
National radio.
I just love sports. Just the best.
All right. So
I didn't give a win.
Oh yeah.
Definitely a win.
I said a win. Oh man. So we both have them starting 3-0.
I just don't. You know, I don't trust Tennessee to come back and do it again because they all Henry. And how often have we seen teams that rely on nothing but a running back? That running back comes back the next year after 2,000 yard season, and now they're struggling to get to 1,000 yards, and that team that relied on him is down in the drain. So
yeah, as a Vikings fan, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't remember any running backs in the last 10 years being like that.
Never.
No.
No.
That never happened. No running backs ever won MVP and then the Vikings just were terrible the next year. So
yeah,
that never happened.
Well, that never happened, and that running back also never went and beat up kids and, you know, threw an entire franchise into the drain for a year or two.
Wow, that took a turn.
Yeah, well, you know, I can get heated quickly when we start talking about AP. I'm not a big AP fan at all.
He scored touchdowns, then we'll leave it at that.
He was very good at scoring touchdowns and running for a lot of yards in his heyday, that's for sure. I liked seeing him whip people off of him on the football field.
Yes. Yeah, I liked seeing him step on football players.
But if you want to make a comparison, speaking of that, Henry is a lot more like the Titans with Henry are a lot more like the Vikings with Peterson than they are right now with Delvin. Delvin, even himself, gives them such a myriad of things that they can do on offense compared to Peterson. And I know Henry is better catching the football than Peterson was, because everybody's better than catching the football out of the backfield than Peterson was.
But nobody's
Delvin Cook or Christian McCaffrey. So that much is definitely a difference. That's part of why I like the Vikings a lot more in this. If you stop Delvin Cook running through the tackles, that doesn't mean you stop the Vikings offense.
All right, so in week four, they face their third AFC South opponent in a row. This one's on the road against the Texans. Guess what? It's a noon game. This one's on Fox. And I've got the Vikings in this one only because I think they're better than the Texans, but the Texans are opening their season against the Chiefs, Ravens, and Steelers. So there's a chance that the Texans could be 0-3 by the time they get to this matchup.
It was a really good year to trade their best wide receiver and one of the best wide receivers in the NFL.
Well, hey, you know what? They got a running back who hasn't lived up to his contract. So, you know, they got a good deal. So I got the Vikings in this game. Do you agree?
Yeah, I got the Vikings because you don't trade your best wide receiver and keep your locker room.
Yeah. Although, I'm not totally like, I don't want to totally like get on Bill O'Brien for trading away DeAndre Hopkins, because Hopkins is hitting the part of his career where he probably only has like maybe two or three good years left. But at the same time, who else do you have? Like, you got to make sure you have someone else if you're going to make a deal like that. And
the thing about it is, like,
for
a couple reasons. Like, you just said two or three years. What are today's NFL contracts?
Right.
They're technically two or three years. Sure, they say five, but they're not five. They're two or three. So you ride them out and you give them one more contract, and then everybody's fine with you saying goodbye to them. I don't know why you do it right now when... If you're the players on the Texans team, if you're Deshaun Watson, like, you're looking around going,
I'm getting my money, and then I'm asking for a trade.
Yeah, like, I just, so no, I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, in baseball, it's the same way I feel about the Cleveland Indians. Like, you've got a good team, you got a good core group of players, and then you start just trading away your best ones. That's not going to get your locker room to go, oh, we're here to win it. No, you just traded away our best player.
They trade away Albert Bell, and look at him.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, they're still paying for it. Okay, so we both got him a win. So we both had him starting 4-0. Definitely no bias here.
Partly because of the consistency, right? So if you got him winning at noon,
that's a factor, though.
If you got him winning at noon on Fox in Week 1 and on Fox at noon in Week 2, then how do you not take him in Week 3 and 4 on Fox at noon?
Well, Week 4 is on CBS, so that might change things. But
is it?
Yeah. So then in Week 5.
Nope, it's on Fox. You're wrong. What? I'm looking at it on Vikings.com right now. We've got all Week 3 is on CBS. Damn.
Oh, Week 3. Yeah. Okay, there we go. Yeah.
Damn it.
I knew one of them was.
All right, so they got one on CBS.
Week 5. I hate games
on CBS. I just want to point that out before we go forward.
It's really, it looks like... lower level,
it's like the second tier,
poorly produced. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
I think NBC is probably first. Fox, ESPN, CBS.
Yeah,
go like that.
But for networks that broadcast like the noon and 3 o'clock games every week, Fox is by far. It's just not. It's on CBS, and I'm just like, except for Joe.
It looks like it was made by like 65-year-olds. Yeah. So it's so boring. So for Week 5, the Vikings do their annual trip to Seattle and take on the Seahawks. Surprise, this game's at night. Sunday night football. It's not Monday night, so that's good. It's been Monday night the past 2 years.
Yes.
Against the Seahawks. This begins at 7:20. This is where I have the Vikings getting their first loss, with or without fans. It's just a tough place to get a win. The Vikings haven't gotten a road win in Seattle since 2006. So unless Russell Wilson is hurt, I think, and the Seahawks, they've been good playing against Mike Zimmer's Vikings. So until something changes, I'm not going to think otherwise, and I'm going to pick the Vikings to lose this game.
I won't pick the Vikings to lose against Russell Wilson because I just hate him so much. So Vikings win in Seattle. They're due for a victory. And I won't give Russell Wilson the satisfaction of picking him. So go Vikings.
It's
about time. We're due. What did you say? Since 2006?
Yep.
Yeah, we're due. And how many of our old players play on their team this year? See, I secretly think that's a factor. How do you play against the team? You're pretty much your entire old team and not expect them to have an advantage on you.
Yeah, that's true. Everson Griffin could still end up there.
I mean, every year they have at least 17 guys on their team that used to play for the Vikings.
Percy Harvin could come back.
Yeah, you never know. If you can't name very many Vikings that play for him this year, then I'm going to say that's probably the reason why they win, because I'm just grasping for straws.
Maybe Nate Burleson will come back. He'll play for him.
Sure.
Okay, so in week six, they come back.
He's only decent on TV anyways.
They come back home and play the Falcons. Back to noon. I'm back on Fox. Since 2014, the Vikings have played the Falcons 4 times. So since Zimmer was hired, the Vikings have played the Falcons 4 times, and they've gotten wins in all 4 of those games. So I don't think it's going to change, and the Vikings are going to win this game. They won't have, you know, Xavier Rhodes to shut down Julio Jones, because that was usually like the only game he's played well in the past couple of years. But I still think they'll be fine and get a win in this game over the Dirty Birds.
I think the Vikings come back to Minnesota high on their 5-0 start.
Oh, no.
And victory over the Seattle Seahawks for the first time since 1969. And and they lose to Atlanta.
Oh, no.
Because they don't come ready to play. It's the Buffalo Bills all over again. They're ready for the bye week. They think that they're going to get the bye week off because Zimmer's so happy that they're 6-0 going into the bye. And instead, they lose. Mike Zimmer's really pissed, and they have to work for like 2 weeks straight, no days off, at 5-1.
Wow. I could see that definitely happening. For sure, because they'll be 5-0. Like that's what you have them. So they'll be 5-0, and they'll be like everyone will be tooting their horn, being like, "Oh, they're the Super Bowl favorite now. They're gonna face the Chiefs," and then
and Atlanta will be like 1-4 at that time.
Yep. So in week 7 they get their bye. I don't mind that. I don't think it's too early. It's pretty much a little earlier than the middle, but I think it's a good spot to have a bye week.
I hate bye weeks, period. I wish we just didn't have them at all.
I play every game.
I also hate 3 o'clock games. Like, that's the thing. Like, with the noon games, the 4 noon games to start, I am pumped for that. Like, especially early on in the season, because you just want football so bad, and you want the Vikings so bad. Right? Well, I've got them written down here. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
12 of their 16 games are noon games.
I'm all about that. Get up in the morning.
Oh, me too.
Fantasy football, get ready for the Vikes.
It's on 10 o'clock for me. So
yeah, man. I don't know. I love noon games.
Breakfast and football. I'm done at like 2 o'clock. Good to go. Yeah.
I mean, you always want, like, when the schedule releases, you want to play the national spotlight primetime games, but, like, when that weekend actually gets there, it's like, God, I wish I was playing at noon. I don't want to wait until Monday night. Like, I don't want to wait that long.
I think the Vikings have always, at least under Mike Zimmer, they've performed better when most of their games are the noon games.
Yeah, well, Central. And we all know about the Kirk Cousins record in primetime.
Listen,
too, and
he won 2 primetime games last year, so get that out of here, Mike Florio, okay?
All right, it's out of here. Throwing it in the trash.
Yeah, that's just a silly narrative now, okay? It's over.
2 games, over.
He didn't
Dallas,
he didn't lose.
New Orleans, done.
What did they lose, 4 or 5 the year before?
Yeah, that something like that. He's like 2-9.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
It's over. Narrative squashed.
Yep, it's over. He's undefeated in 2020, so.
Great point. Unless it's against coronavirus.
We're in the middle of the schedule now, so I'll take this time to just go over who we're sponsored by. Of course, we are brought to you by betonline.ag. So with currently no NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball, you might think there's nothing to bet on, but you'd actually be wrong. Our exclusive partner BetOnline still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on, from their online casino to poker and blackjack. They're bringing Vegas to you. So you're missing the NFL, no problem. BetOnline has live daily Madden simulations you can bet on. And you can even bet on TV shows like Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, and you can even bet on stock prices. So it's all open 24 hours a day and all online. Go to betonline.ag and use the promo code BLUEWIRE, which is all one word, to join today and receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. And we are also brought to you by Blue Chew. So, guys, are you looking to last a little longer and go a few extra rounds? Get to BlueChew.com today. BlueChew.com has the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. They've got the same active ingredients that are in Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. And since they're chewable, they work faster. So you can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend time in, you know, waiting in the pharmacy line. So Blue Chew's online physician is free of cost, and once approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. So here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code BLUEWIRE, which is all one word. Just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code BLUEWIRE. All right, back to the schedule. We'll do the second half now. So after the bye, the Vikings have to travel on the road to face the Packers. This is a noon game. I believe this is the first time, I want to say since 2013, that neither of the Vikings games against the Packers have been in primetime. So it's a little weird, but whatever. Another noon game on Fox. And the Vikings under Mike Zimmer haven't done that well after the bye against their teams. They're just 2-4 in games directly after their bye. So I'm just going to give the Vikings a loss in this one because it's on the road against the Packers. And then the Vikings just, for some reason, don't seem to do well in the games after the bye under Mike Zimmer. So I have to go with the Trents.
Yeah, get out of here with all your sense and facts.
Stats.
Let's see. So this, first off, I will say, is the most important stretch of the Viking schedule. And what you just said makes me super nervous about that because they go Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago, back to back to back. And this, the Green Bay game, is their second division game of the year. Mm-hmm. After week one. So they go week one against Green Bay, and then they have
five, six,
whatever weeks, and then Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago, back to back to back. So this is starting the most important stretch of the year, so hopefully they don't come out rocky out of the bye like they have previously. The other thing to note is that they will have multiple weeks to prepare for Green Bay both times this year. Because they've
that's
got true. The bye week and they have week one. So that's another
that's
interesting thing to note. As far as who wins, the Vikings, because the Packers suck. And by this time, Jordan Love will be starting, won't he?
Oh, my goodness. Probably. All right, so you got him 6-1. I got him 5-2 so far. Next up in week 9 is the Lions at home. This one's at noon. And despite both teams being in the NFC, this game is going to be on CBS. So, super excited about that.
That's what happens when you play against the Lions.
The Vikings have never lost to the Lions since Matt Patricia has been the coach. I don't see that changing this year, especially not when they're home, whether it's with fans or not. So, I see the Vikings getting a win in this game.
I think the real question in this game is, do you rest starters? Or do you think that because the bye week was only a week or 2 weeks before this game that you think your starters were probably good to go still? Or maybe like just half the game, and then once you're up by a few touchdowns, then you maybe bring everybody else in?
Yeah, that could be an option, you know, because you want to make sure you have, you know, good posture like Matt Patricia wants.
Exactly.
It's always important. So you got them getting a win over the Lions as well. All right. Next, they play the Bears in Chicago. And guess what? It's on Monday night. It's like this has never happened before. except for every year. Everyone knows it doesn't matter what the Bears' record is heading into this game. They could have no wins. And it would still be difficult for the Vikings to come away with a win. Because of that, I gave the Vikings a loss.
Yeah, I can't have them winning both primetime games on their schedule. That would just be ludicrous. How could I be on a Vikings podcast if I would speak that type of nonsense?
IV of Kool-Aid in your...
Yeah, nope. I got a loss in Chicago. But by the way, if at this point they are where I have them, which would be...
You have them 7-2.
Well, right, but before the Chicago game.
Oh, 7-1, yeah.
They would essentially, because they've already beaten Green Bay twice, they've already beaten Detroit once, not that Detroit is going to matter anyways, but this would be their first game against Chicago. If they're 7-1, already beating Green Bay twice, they essentially looking to clinch the division, whether it's on paper or not, in this game against Chicago.
Yeah.
So if it were to come down to this, 7-1, hopefully they would win, but they wouldn't necessarily need it.
Yeah, can you win the division if you're like, let's say you're like 12-4, but you're 2-4 in the division, and then the person who's in, like, say the Packers are 11-5, but they're 3-3. You would win the division, right? Because your overall record is better.
Yeah, it goes overall record and then division record.
That's what I thought. I don't know why for some reason I just thought that the overall record didn't matter.
Because you don't know football, and now nobody's going to listen to our podcast ever again.
Good thing I'm taking like a week off so I can figure out some football. Who'd they play? They play after the Bears game, then they have a short week, and they face the Cowboys at home, week 11, on Sunday. This is a 3:25 game on Fox. I have the Vikings losing this game to the Cowboys. It's not because the Cowboys are like so much better, or I think they're so much better than the Vikings, or better at all. It's just that before this matchup, the Vikings or the Cowboys have a bye, so they're already going to have extra time to prepare for this game, and the Vikings are going to be coming off, you know, a short week because they're going to be playing on Monday night. So I think the Cowboys are going to take advantage of this, and I actually think the Cowboys are going to be probably one of the better teams in this season. Just, I think Mike McCarthy is going to be super motivated. I think he's actually a pretty decent offensive coach. And I think the Cowboys are probably going to be one of the better teams this year. So I think the Vikings are going to lose this game.
I think they're going to win for a lot of the reasons that you think they're going to lose. They just lost to Chicago with a chance to pretty much clinch the division. So they are going to want the short week. They are going to want to get back on the field. Sure. And there's really no better place to do it than against Dallas, where even if you're not playing in prime time, it's anytime you play against Dallas, it feels like
it'll
a prime
still be
time
the
game.
It'll be probably like game of the America's week. Game of the week or whatever. Yeah,
for sure. And I just feel like Dallas is just one of those teams that I just think matches up well against Zimmer, especially with Dak, because they just don't do anything special. Like, not that they're not special talents, but their game is run Zeke through the tackles and throw with their plays with Prescott. There's no flash to them. They're not doing anything tricky. And for me, like, if Zimmer knows what you're going to do, no matter how good your offense is, you're in trouble. And it just seems like Zimmer always has Dallas pegged.
Yeah, or they could, you know, you mentioned the strategy for the Cowboys is to, you know, rely on Ezekiel Elliott as a running back. Or they could do last year what they did against the Vikings and try and use him as a receiver at the end of the game.
Right.
A running back and then lose. So hopefully that happens again. So in week 12, the Vikings are still home. I think they have 3 straight home games. This is the second one. This one's against Teddy Bridgewater and the Carolina Panthers. Noon game on Fox. I'm just going to pick the Vikings in this one because for some reason, I think the Panthers are going to be like a surprise team. Because
are you
because
drinking the Teddy Kool-Aid too?
But he just wins, man. I don't know how. It's not like he throws up like monster stats, but he wins games, and they have Christian McCaffrey. But at the same time, I could also see them being 3-13. So I just think the Vikings are going to be the better team and get this win in this game.
I think Carolina will be decent with Teddy.
Like 8-8.
Yeah, they might have a chance to make the playoffs. I think that the way that he protects the ball, and his leadership can help a team that's okay, and then you throw Christian McCaffrey on top. So I think that they might have a chance to make the playoffs. But, I mean, if there's any team that knows how to scheme against Teddy Bridgewater, it's going to be the Vikings, and it's going to be Mike Zimmer. So I don't really give him much of a chance, to be honest.
Just go for his likes.
Well, you're going to get some people really stop listening to our show.
Sorry, too soon. Sorry. Come on. People know I like Teddy. side note, he should have had a documentary made about him, not Alex Smith. Who cares about Alex Smith? He's not even going to make it back to the NFL.
Teddy wouldn't have been like...
It would have been exciting because he's just a boring...
Well, he's just...
kind of guy.
He wouldn't have...
He probably wouldn't even wanted that.
Like, he wouldn't have. Like, he wouldn't have thought to do it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it never would have crossed his mind for him to call up ESPN and say, "Let's do this documentary in my comeback."
Like, I don't really care. I'm just gonna film it with my phone.
Yeah, I'm just gonna drive away on my motorcycle.
So in week 13, they're still home and they're facing the ferocious Jacksonville Jaguars, who might not even have a win by this time of the year. I just think they're going to be very bad. Doug Marrone might make it till the end of the season. This is a noon game on CBS. If you're thinking about resting starters, like you said, against the Lions, this might actually be one of the games where, you know, Dalvin Cook takes the week off and give him some extra rest as they head towards the final stretch of the season. I think the Vikings get a win in this game.
Yeah, Vikings get a win. Jacksonville's bad. They've always been bad. They'll probably always be bad.
They went to the NFC Championship, like, same year as the Vikings. Or the AFC Championship, same year as the Vikings went to the NFC Championship. So, it wasn't that long ago.
I know, but they seem like a team that randomly jumps up because they go and they're really bad for a long time, and then they get a whole bunch of talent. And
none of those players are there anymore.
That's because half of their talent seems to like get arrested all the time. Like, their talent is never like they seem to have a lot of issues on their roster. They draft a bunch of young guys, and then they're talented, but they all get in trouble, and none of them want to stay there long term. And so they have a year or two where they're decent, and then they fall off for another 8 years, and then they'll come back up and they'll be decent. And yeah, it's just Jacksonville.
Well, you could be the Ravens and have players on your team have their wives get arrested. So,
well, hey, but the Ravens win.
They do. All right, so we're in this final stretch, which looks to be pretty tough. So week 14, the Vikings head to Tampa Bay to get a preview of where they'll play the Super Bowl. Against the Buccaneers, a noon game against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think Brady's going to do well in Tampa Bay. I don't know if he'll have monster numbers, but I think they're going to do well. It's going to be a tough game, and I've got this as a loss for the Vikings.
Yeah, I got it as a loss, too. I mean, you're going into the end.
And Brady's never lost to the Vikings in his whole career, so he knows what to do, I guess, against them. Not that he's played Mike Zimmer.
I was just
going to
say, I don't think he's played him very much, but I mean, this is when Tom Brady starts heating up. Like, if we had Brady in weeks 1 through 5, I might take the Vikings, but this is like, Tom Brady's going to start concentrating in week 14. So.
And he gets to play, in warm weather, so, yeah.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, they got to lose some of these games, so, well, they don't have to, but hopefully they don't.
I just noticed this. Good on the Vikings, by the way, to schedule. Their December games are home against Jacksonville, away against Tampa Bay. So it's in Florida, warm weather. Mm-hmm. Then home against the Bears, away against the Saints. That's a dome, and away against the Lions. That's a dome. So they're not. I don't think they're playing in cold weather games.
Week 8 and week 10. That's it. Green Bay. Green Bay and Chicago.
And that's early November. So those might not even really be that cold.
Yeah, it's not going to be like, you know, the 0 degrees or 10 below, most likely. I mean, that's what it was 1 year I went to Lambeau. I think that was the year that we faced them Christmas weekend or something. And it was like...
Was it the Thielen fake punt?
No, this was one where... I think Diggs had a big game. We were up in the... It was... We faced him. It was like Christmas weekend. I want to say it wasn't last year, but the year before.
Was... Well, Kirk Cousins there?
I don't remember.
No. No. Kirk, no. Because the past 2 years, they played him early. So it must have been when Bradford was there.
I'm trying or was to it think Case Keenum?
Was it like a Saturday night game?
It was a night game.
Oh yeah, it was Case Keenum was there. It was like 16-0 or something.
Yes. It was low scoring, but we won. It wasn't even that close.
And Keenum did like the skull chant or whatever after.
Yes. You're right. That's what it was. I'm glad you remember which games I go to.
Yeah. Somebody has to.
Yeah.
So they lose to the Bucks. Both got them losing to the Bucks. Then in week 15, they're home for the Bears. Noon game, surprise. Maybe this will get flexed, probably not.
Bears won't be good enough.
So, they struggle on the road against the Bears, but usually they take care of business against the Bears at home. I know they've lost their past two home games against the Bears. Don't count last year because none of their starters were playing. But I got the Vikings getting a win in this game. I just don't think the Bears are going to be that good.
The Bears have been thinking about an off season, a coronavirus free off season for about 4 weeks at this point in the football season, because they've gone a full off season now, being held inside, can't go anywhere, and then you go straight into the football season and you're terrible by like week six. You've given up on the year. Now you're in week 15. You're looking forward to an off season where, oh my God, we're going on vacation. I get to pull out my golf clubs. We're gonna go hang out with friends. They are not going to want to play football in week 15. They're ready to get out of there. They're ready to get back to their normal off-season lives.
It's not a good year to, you know, make the transition to a new quarterback either.
No.
Because they got Nick Foles, and looks like Trubisky's going to be the backup because they didn't pick up his fifth-year option.
By this point in the year, they might be on Trubisky somebody might else. Be playing. They might be playing Trubisky just to see if there's any hope for him.
So, all right, final two games, week 16 at the Saints. This one's on Christmas. It's on a Friday on my son's birthday. So I guess I'll have to work on my son's birthday. So thanks for that, NFL. It's at 3:30 PM Central on Fox. I'm sure Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will be calling that game. So that'll be wonderful.
Yes.
But for whatever reason, with Mike Zimmer, the Vikings seem to be play pretty well against Sean Payton and the Saints. They got victories in three of their last games against the Saints. There's some controversy last year, not really, because it's just the Saints fans complaining. And then I think the Vikings are just, you know, make the Saints fans Christmas terrible this year and beat them.
Well, yeah, and I mean by this. Drew Brees' arm fell off by this time last year.
This might be for like the one seed or whatever.
Drew Brees' arm fell off by this time last year.
It did, and I'm still confused at all the people who think like he's a factor.
Nobody's even talking about the fact that his arm completely fell off last year and he couldn't throw it for a first down anymore.
It's because he's getting older.
I know, but nobody's talking about it. It's like, oh, well, Drew Brees is still in the NFC. It's like, did you see the Drew Brees that finished last year's season?
The playoffs, yeah.
Like, everybody, even the announcers were telling him to retire. Like, they're like, yeah, Drew Brees is serious. Like, he was underthrowing every deep route that he threw. It was bad. Like, how is he just going to get a year older and all of those problems are going to go away? Like, well, I'm done with the Saints.
At least they got Taysom Hill. You know, he's future Hall of Famer.
So. Taysom Hill and, oh, maybe Jameis Winston will be playing against us by this point.
I hope so.
God, I would love that. He might throw seven interceptions against
them. So you got them winning this game, too?
Yep.
Okay. So right now, I've got them 10-5, and you've got them 12-3. Okay, so if they're 12-3 and they're going to... I guess it would depend if you're playing for the one seed, because this year it's going to be the new playoff format where seven teams get in and only one team gets a bye. You might not want to rest people. Maybe rest them in the second half, depending on how the first half of this game against the Lions goes, which is week 17. It's on the road and against the Lions at noon on Fox. Matt Patricia probably won't be the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, the Lions are done with their season. Can start your – do they play their starters to start the game if the conference is on the line? Yes. Yes, they do. But do they have to? No. No, they don't. No. See, they can play all backups and beat the Lions, maybe even go down to third string. The Lions are
I wouldn't feel confident about Sean Mannion being in there.
I don't know, man.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Is Stafford even the quarterback at this point in the season?
That's true, yeah.
The Lions are just... As a Timberwolves fan, I kind of wonder how Lions fans go from season to season without, like, just begging for somebody to sell their franchise. Because, like, sometimes I just wish the Timberwolves would just sell. Like, get the team out of Minnesota and let's start over, because the frustration isn't worth the fandom. If you're the Lions, it's, like, so much worse than that.
They've never been to a Super Bowl.
When is the last time that they made any type of playoffs? Playoff run?
Playoffs.
I think they made the playoffs like sometime in the last 2016 10 years.
Or 2015.
But when is the last time that they made like a legitimate run past like one round where you go, wow, they could actually make it to the NFC Championship game, or they could actually possibly when is the last time that we talked about the Lions as a legitimate conference champion? Never.
Hey, they've won four championships, okay? Even if it was like in the 50s when they were playing against like grocery baggers, but
yeah, well, they don't count the Vikings championships back then, so I'm not gonna count there.
All right, so the last time they went to the playoffs was 2016. I think that was that controversial one against the Cowboys or something, or the Seahawks.
When is the last time they won a game?
The last time they won a playoff game. 1991. They made the NFC Championship. And they lost, I believe,
1991. To the Redskins. That is 30 years ago. Could you imagine not winning a playoff game?
Was Barry Sanders even on the team?
Yeah, he had to have been, because I remember watching Barry Sanders play, and I was 2 years old then. I don't have any memories from football happening in 1991.
They lost 41-10 that game.
Oh my god!
Yeah, Barry Sanders had 44 yards rushing.
Yeah, well, how do you stop the Lions when they had Barry Sanders? You stop Barry.
That was
Sanders.
when the Redskins were like, they were really good.
And Joe Theismann, was he still playing back then in 91?
That was like the Doug Williams.
Yeah.
That era, and then before that, their last playoff win was in 1983. So let me. How many playoff wins do they have?
They can't have more than five. They don't even have.
They have seven, it says. But yeah.
When did they come into the league? Can you see that?
They've been around for a while. They've been around since 1930.
Well, so, right, but when did they enter the actual NFL? When we started counting, well, like the Vikings won the AFL forever.
Is 1970?
Did they come over in the merger? Okay.
So they've had, I believe, three or four playoff wins since 1970. So yeah.
Oh God.
They're very good. Great.
I mean, the Vikings break our hearts over and over again, but at least they have the opportunity to break our hearts. That means that they had to have, like, they had the Minneapolis Miracle to get to the heartbreak. Like,
40 we had nothing.
We had the Favre season before we had that big loss. Like, we had the 98 before we had the 98 letdown. Like, I would rather have that than never have the chance like the Lions ever. Oh, man.
For sure. Okay, so your final record prediction for them is 13-3.
13-3 with the schedule everybody's afraid of.
Yep, and mine's 11-5. So we both have them. I think they'll win the division.
I don't see how they lose the division. Like, I just
I don't think the Packers. Unless what did they do to like improve? I didn't think the Packers were good last year, and they didn't really do a whole lot to improve their roster this year. They definitely didn't do it in the draft.
The only way the Vikings lose the division in 2020, 2021 is if Aaron Rodgers goes on a I hate everyone tour. and just goes off for 50 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, wins MVP, then the Vikings lose a division. But only if he's coming to prove everybody that he's the best quarterback in the NFL. If not, then it's not happening.
Yeah, that could happen, and that would be terrifying.
Yes, yes, it would be terrifying.
Okay, so I think that's going to do it for us today. I'm going to be off for a little bit because my wife decided she's going to have a baby, so I have to take care of that. I have to help her and stuff.
Yeah.
So
we'll still be here though. I'll find somebody. I'll grab somebody off the streets. Eric will be here. We'll make it happen.
There's a lot of people who aren't busy these days, so you should be able to find someone. Yeah. So make sure to follow the show on Twitter, at Bleeding Podcast, and then subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get
your podcasts. Soon coming to iHeartRadio.
Soon coming to iHeartRadio, apparently. Mm-hmm. We're on Pandora too. I saw that the other day. But until next time.
And if you have a platform that you use and we're not on it, let us know and we'll get on it.
Yep, for sure. The more the merrier. We'll get on SoundCloud if we have to or whatever.
Yeah.
So enjoy your time with Eric. I'm sure everyone will enjoy me being gone, a little reprieve from myself. I'll enjoy it probably.
Enjoy the new member of your family.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'll let you know if it's good or not. Until next time, talk to you later.
See you, fam.
Talk to you later. Talk to you later.